You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Nosin Yanofsky of Brooklyn College, New York, has been using category theory to investigate a principle at the heart of science, Occam's razor. That's the rule of thumb, first articulated by a medieval monk, that says that if you have competing explanations, which could account for the same observations, you should favor the simplest, least elaborate theory. But is there any reason to trust this principle? Is it just a matter of intuition, or can we find some sort of solid mathematical basis for it? Reporter Sophie Hebden met with Yanofsky to find out how he is tackling this medieval maxim that still puzzles scientists today, and the reactions to his latest popular science book.
William of Ockham was born in southern England in the 14th century, and amongst his religious writings, which angered the Pope enough to get him excommunicated, forcing him to live in exile, was a maxim relating to science that we know as Ockham's razor. It states that given a choice of different theories to fit a phenomenon, you should choose the simplest theory that works. But why should the universe work like this? No one has shown why the principle should or shouldn't work. I met Nosin Yanofsky in a coffee lounge at Churchill College, Cambridge last month to find out how he's tackling this deep philosophical question, a question that has eluded mathematical analysis for centuries.
So Occam's razor says, you know, if you have a complicated thing to explain something and you have a simple thing explaining something, cut away the complicated thing and keep the simple thing. Mm. Okay. Now most people say Occam's razor works in the universe. Somehow the universe can be described as somehow simple. I don't know if it works. It's a philosophical question.
So are you trying to ask why that is?
I'm trying to work, why does Occam's razor work or seem to work? And I'm also trying to somehow quantify Occam's razor. And by measuring the structures, mathematical structures, I'm trying to say, you know, how complicated is something? And why does it work? So that's an interesting question. Why does Occam's razor work? And does it work? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe the world is a little bit more complicated than it is simple.
To find out how simple or complicated a scientific theory is, Yanofsky is working out how to quantify its information content. A complicated theory will contain more information, a simple theory less information. But scientific theories have such varied mathematical structures, how can they be compared? This is where Yanofsky's background in a branch of mathematics called category theory comes into play.
So I work in an area called category theory. And category theory is a language that was started in mathematics in the 40s. It's a broad language that can be used in many different areas of mathematics. But also, you know, as of the past few decades, people realize it's a language that can be expressed. I'm sorry, it's a language that can express many things even outside of mathematics, in computer science, in theoretical physics, and even in linguistics they start using category theory. And so it's a very interesting, broad language. It's extremely flexible, so it's flexible, so it's able to talk about all these different areas in one uniform language. And so that's fascinating.
Many scientific theories have already been categorified, so now Yanofsky can compare them if he can somehow measure the information content of these structures. To do this, he is using a tool from computer science called Kolmogorov complexity, which he is applying to categories. Kolmogorov complexity describes how much information is contained in a string of letters or numbers in terms of the computing resources needed to reproduce it.
This goes back to the 60s. People were giving these strings and describing how much information they have. Okay, now that's great for strings, but I'm not interested in strings. I'm interested in structures, mathematical structures, computer science structures, physics structures. And so I want to do the same thing for Kolmogorov complexity, but instead of on strings, I want to talk about it on categorical structures.
Yanofsky has created a programming language that he calls SAMI to generate these categorical structures. So the information content of each structure will be the length of the most succinct SAMI computer program that generates it. And comparing the results for different mathematical structures should give insights into why Occam's razor seems to work.
It's interesting just as a unifying language. Mm. You have all these different things, physics, mathematics, computer science, and you're looking, you know, what's understandable, using this one measure to see how these things work.
For Yanofsky, this project is a bit of a comeback to research, as he's been more than a little occupied writing a popular science book that was published by MIT Press last year called The Outer Limits of Reason.
Over the past few years, I've been teaching these classes in theoretical computer science. In theoretical computer science, you ask questions. In regular computer science, you ask questions like, what can a computer do, and how do you get a computer to do this, and how do you get a robot to do that? And in theoretical computer science, you ask questions like, what can a computer not do? And what are the limitations of a computer, and what can a computer not do efficiently, and things like that. So I got into these questions of limitations of computers. And then beforehand, I had written a book on quantum computing, which is something to do with quantum physics. And I realized there's a lot of limitations in quantum physics also. There's things that human beings cannot know in quantum physics. And I put all these things together in many other areas, and I just talked about limitations of knowledge. Mm. So the book is called The Outer Limits of Reason, what science, mathematics, and logic cannot tell us. And so it's all about these limitations of what human beings cannot go further in knowing.
Do you think by describing the periphery of what we can know, we can understand what we can know better?
Yes, right, that's one thing. And then also, once you know that there's something you can't know, you can stop looking for it. Or you can, you know, it's good to know the boundaries of what you know. Or, of course, you won't always know the boundaries of what you know. And that's why science is interesting. You're always looking and searching, going further.
What kind of reaction have you had to it?
Well, the book is selling very well. And it's got very nice reviews. And really, I get a lot of emails and stuff like that from people who read the book and think it's very interesting.
Do you feel like you're a bit of an evangelist for the subject?
I love explaining things, and then students come over after and say, oh, that's, yeah, now I understand it. It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
This popular science book, it's very interesting. I took this book, I made a class to teach it. The class was called Paradoxes and the Limits of Knowledge. And I wrote chapters and I handed them out, and they read it, and they, you know, they complained. And any time they found something too complicated, they, you know, wrote on the side, this is too complicated, make it easier. Mm. And then I did it. And the book is extremely, I mean, one of the remarks I get a lot is, you know, this is an extremely readable book. And I really, there's like Gödel's incompleteness, which is a famous thing, Bell's theorem in physics. Yeah. And I really spend pages and pages trying to explain it.
Yeah.
For a second.
And that's because you had all your editors, student editors, who
right,
were amazing.
Right. No, so there's nothing like a student who, you know, they get so excited catching me on a spelling mistake and laughing at my horrible grammar or whatever, and they, you know, circle it and underline it and come over to me after class, how could you write that? And I taught that one semester, another semester, and third, you know.
Yeah.
And after a couple of semesters, they stopped complaining, which means...
Your book was ready.
Great way of writing a book. Yeah. Because there's nothing like, you know, students to... You don't want students to laugh at you behind your back. I wanted to have a complete book before I send it into publishers. So it took about 2 or 3 years.
With his FQXI grant, Yanofsky also hopes to use Kolmogorov complexity to think about easy problems and hard problems, which can be very difficult to tell apart.
Computer science, they want to know what's a hard problem, what's an easy problem.
Is that to know whether it's worth making
right.
code or something?
Or more important, whether it's worth to give up. So let's talk about the traveling salesman problem.
Yeah.
That's a typical problem. You know, a young person wants to go to 100 different cities, and he wants to do it in the shortest possible route.
Yeah.
So we know that that's considered an extremely hard problem, and that it would take trillions of centuries to do.
Yeah.
That's in the book. So one thing to do is give up finding the perfect solution, and then what you do is what's called an approximation algorithm. You try to approximate and find, you know, I don't want the best answer. I want about what's the best answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helping to find what are hard problems is two things. One is to learn when to give up. And you give up finding the answer, and you just find an approximate answer.
Yeah.
And the other thing is as follows. Let's say you're working for a boss, and he tells you he wants to find the solution to this and this problem. And you go and you find that this is a very hard problem, and it can't be solved within trillions of centuries. You go over to your boss and you say, look, I can write a computer program to do this, but it'll take a trillion centuries for you to get the answer. Your boss is going to fire you.
Whereas your theory, you could actually
quantify it. Right, but with my theory, I can say, look, this program is going to take trillions of centuries, and I can prove to you that this is a hard problem. And you know what the boss can say? Well, he's not going to fire you because nobody else is going to be able to do a good job either.
Yeah.
Right. So you somehow, you know that this is a hard problem, therefore nothing's going to help. Therefore, we can move on.
Thank you to Noson Yanofsky for describing his FQXI-funded research to Sophie Hebden. If you visit the website www.fqxi.org/community, you can read more about his work and his books.